Isn't it so good to be here this morning? This line here, I'll start again. It is good to be and to remember all about that Easter, that first Easter. And if you had to describe the kind of business that God loves to be involved in, and in what he wants to do in our lives, what would you say? What would you say? What does God want to do? What does God love to do? What kind of business is God involved in?
Restoration.
What is that? That's a big word. Getting us to where we should be in relationship to God and how we're living in the world. God's in the business of changing lives. All right? That's what God wants to do. That's why Jesus came. And I believe that as God looks at each one of us today, God's saying, I want to change you. I want to change you. I can do something quite miraculous in your life. And I want to do it today. That's what God, I believe, is saying. But he's also saying, if you let me. And I'll be talking more about that right at the end. If you let me. I want to do so much if you let me. I believe he's saying whatever is broken in your life, not in your house, but if whatever's broken in your life, I want to fix it. I can fix it in your life. Whatever is messed up in your life, I believe God's saying, I want to straighten it out. And so, with that in mind, I want to say to you today, are you ready? Are you prepared for that today? Are you prepared for it? Okay? Now, the word power. In that last chorus that we sang, thanks Andy for picking these, you don't know, other than possibly that I might be speaking about something about Easter. And in this last chorus today, we sang, there was a phrase that says, that was up there that said, power in Christ. And today, I want us to talk about the power of Christ. What that is, right? Now, I looked into the Bible, looked at the back of my Bible in the concordance, and guess how many times I found the word power? 200. Actually, less than that. There was less than 200. About half. 101. Good maths there, all right? 101 times in the New Testament, you find the word power. Power of Christ. Power in a number of different ways. And in the New Testament, this word power was used to describe the most powerful force in the universe. God's power. And it was in so many times. What did the power of Christ through Jesus enable him to do? What sorts of things did Jesus do when he walked on the earth for about 3 years? Miracles. The power of Christ to perform miracles through Jesus. What kind of miracles did he do? Raise the dead. cast out demons too. Walked on water. Heal the sick. What kind of sick people did he meet? Blind. Lepers. He cleansed, he healed the lepers. Blind people, deaf people, paralytic people. People with all kinds of problems. Also, how else was the power of Jesus demonstrated? Because that's why we celebrate as we do today. Overcame death, but there was the power of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus was brought about by the power of God. And this morning, like I said, I want to talk about the power of Christ. Now, in the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, and chapter 3 and verse 10, it's got this word power. If you've got your Bibles, open it up to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And this was one of, I would say, the greatest desire was, this was the greatest desire of the Apostle Paul. And what does he say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10? He says, have you got it? He says, I want to know Christ and what? The power of the resurrection. And the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I want to know Christ, he said, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. Do we want to know the power of the resurrection of Jesus in our lives? Paul did. Paul did. Do we this morning? And that's what I want us to talk about today. What is this power able to do in our lives? And how do we access it as believers? All right? And that's what I want us to look at today. I believe the first thing that the God's power, the power of Christ can do is this. It can cancel your past and my past. That's the first thing God wants to do. He wants to cancel some things in our past and their effect upon our lives. Now, God's power is powerful enough to cancel the effects of some things in our past. Things like failures. Put your hands up if you've never failed. God wants to cancel failures. How about mistakes? Anybody never made a mistake? How about sins? How about regrets? Anybody got regrets about the past? The good news this morning is that God wants to cancel those things. Now, I'm not talking about denying that they ever happened. All right? It's like sticking your head in the sand and ignoring them. No, God wants to cancel those things, particularly the hold that they may have in our lives. He doesn't want us to be chained to these kind of negative things in our past. He wants to cancel them. He wants to give us a second chance. Just imagine that. A second chance. Have you ever got halfway through some kind of project that you were doing and you wished that you could start all over again. Have you ever done that? Anybody? What sort of things did he start off on?
I'm doing a big quilt for Margie, and it's gone
wrong. Doing a quilt for Margie. Did Margie know? Did Margie know?
No,
no, she knows now. Okay. It's gone wrong, Margie. I'm sorry. All right. Anything else? So there's a revelation.
Laying a patio.
Laying a patio. What went wrong? It wasn't even. There is a real art in laying flags that aren't even. In my backyard, anybody can lay straight patios. It's actually getting them uneven, all right? And I'm nearly an expert at the uneven patio. How about painting a room? Have you ever gone into a shop and they don't just call it green, do they? Or yellow. It's cottage green. Mould, in other words. Cottage green. They have some wonderful latte. There's a colour we did our front room in latte. And so ever put your cup down in that room, you never find it. All right? Latte. All sorts of colour. But just imagine you buy this big container full of paint and you take it home and you slap it on the walls and then you stand back and you look at it and you think, pardon? I should have taken the paintings down first. All right? You can't just do round the paintings, Andy. All right? But you stand back and you think, didn't look like that in the shop.
There's ways around it.
Little tester pots. Or get somebody else in. Yeah. Right. It doesn't look great. Doesn't look perfect. You wish you could start all over again. Well, you know, there are some people are like that about life. I wish I could start all over again. I've made, they say, so many mistakes in my life. I wish I could wipe them all out and start all over again. Failures, problems, bad decisions. We've all had them and we all suffer from them, don't we? But there are some people who just can't let go of the past. Somehow it's hanging on to them. And the past limits what you do in the present and in the future. And I believe God wants to cancel that kind of influence in our lives. That might be you today. Just reflect about the past. Things you made some wrong decisions. Before or after becoming a Christian. And they seem to haunt you sometimes. In fact, sometimes what the things of the past can do is they can cripple you. They can actually stop you from moving forward and into becoming what God wants you to become. There's a wonderful promise. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. And I looked at it in a few versions and this is what the Message version says. It says, when you were stuck in your old sin dead life, you were incapable, it says, of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. And then he says, think of it. All your sins were forgiven. The slate was wiped clean. That old arrest warrant was cancelled and nailed to the cross of Christ. That's what God in Jesus can do for us. Jesus knows all about the wrong things that we've done. But he didn't come to rub them in. You know, there's some people who highlight on the things that we do wrong, and they kind of rub it, magnify them. Do you know what God wants to do? He wants to rub them out. Not rub them in and make us squirm, but rub them out. Take them away. He didn't come to condemn us. He just came to change us. And I want you to know today, God can change you. He can lift you out of your situation. Now, there was, how does he do it? When I was growing up, they had something called an etch-a-sketch. Anybody? Yeah, just nod if you've heard of an etch-a-sketch. Nod a bit harder if you ever had one. Yes. Okay. Dorothy's nodding. Yes, Dorothy? How did etch-a-sketches work? Any idea? No? Pardon? So, yeah, it could be to do with magnets. The really old ones, they were filled, I think, with a kind of sand. Yeah? And what you did, you drew on them and you got your picture. But if you wanted to start again, you just turned it over, gave it a good shake, and it was clear. The later ones had a little thing across the bottom, and you drew it, and then you just drew this and back again, and it wiped it clean. An etch-a-sketch. Now, God is a bit like an etch-a-sketch. All right? If you want to, he can wipe your life clean. God, Jesus can do that. There's another promise in the Bible. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22. And it says, how does it work out? How can it? We get it to work in our life? This is what the writer to the Hebrews says. He says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance. That just means really believing. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts, what? It says, sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what God wants to do. He wants to cleanse our hearts. Now, you might be asking, so how can we draw near to God? Well, that's made possible by what Jesus did for us, through what Jesus did for us. As we shared this morning, he died on the cross for my sin, for your sin, for the sins of the world, for any who would actually believe on Jesus. And he can cancel, he can actually forgive our sins. And the Bible says, now how do we do that individually? If we confess our sins, if we tell God about our sins, we acknowledge that we've done them, you see. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse our heart, to clean our hearts from all unrighteousness. Now, if God is willing to forgive us, don't you think we need to be willing to forgive ourselves? Lots of people can't do that. They think their past and the things they've done in the past is so bad, they can't ever be forgiven. They don't even, in a sense, forgive themselves. So Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. So the past could be cancelled. And he was hung up on that cross to make that happen for us. And that's what Easter, one of the things of Easter is all about. Cancelling the past. Okay? But there's something else that God wants to do. The first one is about cancelling things of the past. The second also begins with C, and that is conquering. You see, they can be cancelled, some things, but some things can still have a hold on our lives. And Jesus came to conquer them, to take control of them, our problems. He's not just able to cancel them. He's able to disarm them, as Corinthians actually says. He's able to disarm these problems. Now, everybody's got problems in their lives. What kind of problems can we have in our lives?
Relationship problems.
Relationship problems. Yeah. Pardon? Money problems, yes.
Employment
problems.
Health problems.
Health problems. Pardon?
House.
Oh, housing problems, yeah. Have a house or not have a house, or the wrong house. Okay? We can have all kinds of different problems. Do you know what the real problem is we have? We don't know how to deal with our problems. We got that? All right? We have lots and lots of problems, but we don't know what to do with these problems. And that's a problem. What do we do? Most of us try to handle our problems ourselves. Do you do that? Yeah? And if you can't do it, and I can't do it, then where do we go? God. So if we can't handle it, or others can't handle it, then we go to God. Do you think that's the right order?
No.
What's the order, right? Go to God first with your problem. But we try and sort it out ourselves. How do you know that people are trying to solve their own problems by the condition of the people?
Worried.
They get worried. And what do you do if you get worried at night? You don't sleep. And what happens if you don't sleep at night?
You get exhausted.
You get grumpy. Do you get grumpy, Adam? I do. Oh, yeah. If I get tired, that phrase, I'm like a bear with a, aren't we all? Okay? So if you get tired out from handling your problems, you get tired and you get exhausted. Now, I came across, a man wrote this about being tired out and frustrated. And he summed it up this way. He said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yeah? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we get this when we try to solve our own problems. Now, God wants us to stop trying to sort out our own problems. And he wants us to start trusting. Stop trying and start trusting. All right? So if you're juggling with a number of different problems this morning, God wants to say to you today, stop trying to sort it yourself. Start trusting. Start trusting me, he says. And I want to ask you to do that. What's going through your mind at the moment? Decide, I'm going to start trusting God through this situations. Have you ever... Sometimes it's dangerous to come up to somebody and say, how are you doing today? How are you doing today? Steve... Whenever Steve and I meet up, I can say this, Steve. Whenever Steve, he always says to me, he always puts me on the spot. He always says, how's your day been today? God. How long have you got, Steve? All right? So sometimes when you ask people, how are you doing? They say, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. Have you ever said that? Yeah. I'm doing all right under the circumstances. Well, next time somebody says something like that to you, this is what I want you to say to them. What are you doing under them? All right? What are you doing under your circumstances? Someone said this about some circumstances. They said, circumstances are like a mattress on a bed. If you're on top of them, you rest easy. But they said, if you get underneath, they suffocate you. And a lot of us are under our circumstances. All right? We're under our circumstances and they're suffocating us. Because we can't control them. But we can control how we respond to them. And that's what I want to say. How we control or we respond to these circumstances. Now, you might be saying, hey, it's okay for you, Andy. You haven't got my problems. Is some people saying that here this morning? You haven't got my problems, Andy. I've got to listen to this guy at the front for 3 hours. Oh, sorry. All right. You haven't got my problems. My problems are unique. Okay? My problems are huge, they say. Maybe they are. But we should say to people, but my God is big. My God is bigger than the problems. My God is great. In fact, he's greater than the problems. And it's only found one place in the Bible, this word awesome. My God, your God, if you're following Jesus, is awesome. He's bigger than anything that we are going through. Now, Paul was having a bit of a rough time. In Romans 8, the hinge of the book of Romans, all right? Romans 8. This is what he says. He's got a question. Who shall separate us? Verse 33. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that's difficulty, trials like that, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Can these things separate us from God? And what does he say in verse 33, the second part of it? No. He says, no. In all these things, we are, or we can be, more than conquerors. You know what I said about God wants through his power to make us conquerors, to conquer these problems? We can be more than conquerors through him, Jesus Christ, who loved us, who loves us. You see, the answer to Paul's question in verse 33 is nothing. Is nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Let's say that. Nothing. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can swallow us up and destroy us unless we let it. Doesn't matter how dark the situation is. God can turn on the light. No matter how hopeless life seems, God is there to help us become conquerors. But there's a third thing that God can do. We're doing all right. 2 hours, 35 minutes left. Okay. All right. God's power can cancel the past. God's power can
help us to conquer. The third thing is God's power can change your and my personality. Really? You are not stuck with your personality. We're not. God can change them. God can change them. Now, what would you like to change about your personality? How long have you got, Andy? What would you like to change? Some of the things. Have you got a bad temper? God can change that. You can't just say, it's me. It's me. No, God can change that trait in your personality. How about anger? God can change that. Selfishness. God can change that. If you're full of pride in your life, God can change that. Martin Luther said, from the day you become a Christian, you spend maybe the rest of your life trying to root out pride in your life. That's what he said. Are you unkind to people? God can change that. You don't have to be like that. You don't have to be like that. If you are unforgiving to people, it's really hard for you to forgive people. God's power can change that part of your personality. How about being impatient? Are you impatient? No. Hurry up, hurry up. No, I'm not impatient. God can give us patience. Now, why do I say that? Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, patience. You jumped the gun. Lynn mentioned it. Love, joy, peace, patience. Okay, and we can go on. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. So if you're impatient, God can change that with patience. Love, joy, peace, patience. Do you know there's only one kind of people in the world who don't like patience? Do you know who those are?
Doctors.
Okay. Doctors. Okay. It's a joke. Okay. I know at the beginning of the new year, people make New Year's resolutions. Come on. Did you make one in January or two or three? No. Why? Because I got fed up of not keeping them. All right. I want to lose weight. Do you think I need to lose weight? What? No. You're kind. If we wanted to lose weight, but now, nobody's watching. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes, everybody. Just looking round. Daniel, have you closed yours? Yeah, right. Right. What I want you to do is... No, come on, Omed. Close your eyes. I can see your eyes twinkling at me. Right. Now, what I want you to do... If you've ever tried to lose weight... The eyes are all closed... Put your hand up. There's more than that. Hands down. Hey, Adam, you shouldn't have been looking.
That's why you won't do it. Dishonest
people. Oh, no, no, they're not dishonest. They're just mean. Okay? If say you were going to set off on a journey to lose weight, to diet... First thing, I'm determined to lose weight without having one of my limbs cut off. Okay? That's the quickest way. to lose weight. You plan to do exercise, right? You plan to eat less and different kinds of food, okay, that won't make you as fat. But how long do your plans last? Not very long. 2 hours? You know, some people say, I manage to stay on this diet for 8 hours. I dropped off at 10 and woke up at 6. All right, I managed it for 8 hours. You see, when we're thinking about making a real change in our lives, spiritually, it takes time. In some respects. And God has a two-step process. Right? Two-step process in making real change. The first step in this whole changing process you'll find outlined in the book of Corinthians chapter 2, sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, therefore, if, there's a condition, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature, the old has passed away, behold, all things become new. When we're converted, we become a new creature. A new creature. The old life can pass away. And everything begins to become new. That's committing our lives to Jesus. We're not the same as before. We might think we are, but we're not. The Bible actually says when we give our lives to Jesus, a new life begins. Now, those two lovely children at the back, they're sleeping away. When a new baby is born, they begin to live. But they haven't arrived, they've just been born. They begin their life. And they're changing, aren't they? Every week, every month, 3 months, 6 months, they change. But they've got to be born first, before they begin to change. Okay? Now, the Bible calls a person becoming a Christian, the first thing that happens is they are born again. They become a new person. That's what being born again means. And Jesus actually said, every man or woman has to be born again to see and to know God. Now, it doesn't mean we get reincarnated. All right? Doesn't. It actually means we get a chance to start over. And two things are given to us. One thing is we're given a new life, a new nature. We're not the same as before. We get a new nature. And we get the Holy Spirit. Now, I praise God in the church here. Over this last month, we've probably seen about 7 or 8 people giving their hearts to the Lord. All right? And lots of our young people have done that. And that is absolutely fantastic. But they've just begun. Right? When you give your heart to Jesus, say, I want to decide to follow Jesus, they begin. And they get the new nature. And it's there, in their hearts. And God wants to make it grow. And it takes time. It takes time. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He comes in to actually bring about the change in our lives. Okay? There's only one thing that can really stop us from changing and becoming the person God wants to be. Do you know what it is? Yourself. Sin. It's yourself. It's yourself. It's me. It's you. It's how we respond to what God wants to do. You know, when I said this morning, God wants to do some mighty work, changing work in our lives, the determining factor is us. God wants to. God has given the Holy Spirit. And God wants to bring about the change. It's not the circumstances that surround us. It's us. It's us. You see, you can meet lots of people who are getting ready for change. Some people seek to get ready for spiritual change. They're thinking about change. But sadly, they never do. Do you know why? They keep putting it off. It's one of the greatest, the saddest things about change is, we'll put it off. Not today. Later. One of these days, when I'm ready. They live in a state of putting stuff off. And we can do that as believers. And there's a long word in the Bible, it's called procrastination. But all it means is put it off. Not now. Put it off. I'll do it later. I'll do it another day. And we can all be guilty from doing that. Now, putting off things can be fatal. Did you know that? If you put things off, it can be fatal. In what way? Because we say in our mind, one day I'll do it. One day I'll do it, Andy. One day I'll take that step. One day I'm going to follow my dreams. One day I'm going to spend more time with the family. One day I'm going to sort my life out. One day. And the question is, which day? Which day? Which day? How many people have seen the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston as Moses? You've seen it? Yeah? Well, I want you to picture in your mind there's a scene, okay? And Moses goes and talks to Pharaoh to ask him to let my people go. Right? You remember that? And what does Pharaoh do? Pardon? I'm not doing that. He refuses. I'm not going to let the people go. So, what happened? On one of these times, Aaron takes the staff of Moses and he puts it in the River Nile. And what happens? It turns red. It turns to blood. Right? And the fish die and all sorts of things die. And nobody can get any drinking water anymore. And they have to go and dig wells. A week later, Moses shows up again at Pharaoh's court again. And this time, one word. Do you know what he says to Pharaoh? Frogs. There are going to be frogs throughout the land. The place is going to be covered with frogs. All right? And Pharaoh, what does Pharaoh do? He refuses. He refuses to let the people go. So Aaron does the same thing. He waves that staff of Moses over the rivers and the ponds and the lakes. And guess what? Frogs. The place gets covered with frogs. And finally, Pharaoh asks Moses to come and see him. And he says to Moses something like this. Okay, Roses. Okay, Moses. I give up. Get rid of the frogs. That's what Pharaoh says to Moses. And you know what Moses says? When do you want me to get rid of the frogs? Now, what was Pharaoh's answer?
Tomorrow.
He didn't say now. He actually said tomorrow. That's putting off. If God promised you and I something very, very special, oh, and I'll give you this, when do you want it? And you said, tomorrow? Something good? And putting it off, delaying it. I mean, Pharaoh must have been crazy to say that. Why did he not just say now? But he didn't. He actually said tomorrow. Now, you and I do this about change all the time in our lives. We put off changes that we know they'll be good for us. Why do we do that? Bit lazy? Bit fearful? Afraid of change? Because we don't really know what's going to happen through these changes. We might be a bit too proud. We might be stubborn. Whatever the reason is, we just put it off. We want to wait. We want to avoid it. But God can change us. And that's what I want to leave you with this morning. And I want to say, why not start now? Dare I say this morning, who wants to change, have their spiritual lives changed? Who would like to? Four? Five? Who would like to have? I do. I want my life to continue to change. But it begins now. It's like saying to God now, now Lord, I want you to do it. Begin to do it now. Begin to do it now. It begins, if we haven't given our hearts to God and asked, well, firstly, believed in Jesus, asked Jesus to be our Saviour for forgiveness of our sins, we need to do the first step first. And ask Jesus to come into our lives. But most of us in here done that. But God says, I still want to change you. I want to constantly change you. I want to cancel the past, and I want you to conquer the things, your problems, and I want to change your personality, and so on. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is here. That this morning I walked into the bedroom with empty cups, didn't I? This morning, two empty cups. We'd already had one cup of tea, but we're both in different rooms, just reading and praying. And I think I said to Lynn, he's not here. Do you know what Lynn said? He's risen. He's not here. He's risen. Now I want to say the opposite. He is here. The Holy Spirit is here. He is here. And he wants to touch our lives. And he wants to change our lives. And today is a day of change. And so I just want to challenge you. If you want, I want you to pray I'm going to give just 2 minutes and then I'm going to stop. And I'm going to pray. And I just want to ask you, if you want God to come in and move in your life and bring about change in your life, then you come before God on your own now. And you ask him what you want him to do. What do you want God to do in your life? What do you want God to do? So let's just pray. And for some, if it means saying, Jesus, this is the first time, but I just want to invite you into my life. You do that. Believe in Jesus. Believe that he died on that cross so that you can be forgiven of your sins. Heavenly Father, you have heard the cries of our hearts. And you're the only one who can bring about change in our lives. All we have to do is say, I want it. I'm ready for it, Lord. I'm hungry for it, Lord. I'm thirsty for your changes in my life. And you want to do such great and mighty things. You might want God to kickstart your spiritual life again. It's petering out. It's gone quiet. And you can say to God, Lord, will you refresh my life? I want to recommit my life to you today. Or you can bring before God the things that are tripping you up. You know what they are. God knows what they are. And you can say to God, Lord, I want to be done with that. Because I want to go on with you. I want to go on with you. Fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. Make me conscious of the things that not just trip me up, but pull me back from walking a life that's pleasing and honouring to you. What an adventure it is to set off journeying with Jesus, inviting him into our lives. It starts with doing that. And Jesus so wants to do it. He wants to bring about all these changes. He's longing for it in our lives. And so we just want to say, Lord Jesus, have your way. Whatever pleases you, whatever you want to do in my life, you and I can say, Lord, just do it. Just move quietly, powerfully, quite miraculously into my life this morning, this day. I want resurrection power to enable me to live out a life that's pleasing to you. I want the past completely cancelled, that it's not crippling me in any way. And I want to be a conqueror over my problems. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing our cries. Thank you for being here, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. And we want to respond to you. We want more of the Holy Spirit. Fill each one of us, I pray, more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. What a glorious Easter this could be for us. We love you. We worship you. In your majesty, in your holiness, and in your power. We are yours, and you are ours. Bless you, Jesus, for all that you did for us. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.